Hi again, Medical Education Podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal. I have the pleasure today of speaking with Lulu Al-Wazan, who's a demonstrator in the Medical Education Department at Al-Imam Muhammad Ibn Saud Islamic University in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, but is clearly a citizen of the world in terms of having just completed a master's in medical education from the University of Dundee and more recently enrolled in a PhD at the University of Ottawa. Asked for the opportunity to speak with her today because she has a paper coming out in the August 2016 issue of Medical Education entitled Women in Medical Education, Views and Experiences from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I know it's quite late there at the moment, Lulu, so thank you very much for making the time to chat.
No, thank you for inviting me.
I want to jump right into it by focusing for a moment on your title, Women in Medical Education. It's self-evident why that's important to understand and to become a topic of study within the health professional education field. The subtitle, though, Views and Experiences from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, runs the risk of being interpreted by some as maybe being less relevant to them because they're not working in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So I wonder if I can get you to start off by dissuading individuals of that notion and giving us some sense as to why you believe this effort you've embarked upon speaks to our broader audience of international medical educators.
Yeah, so this research project was part of my master's program at the University of Dundee. My supervisor, Charlotte Rees, who's obviously a woman and a British social scientist, and myself, a Saudi woman, physician and medical educator, were curious about how women viewed and experienced career progression and leadership in medical education in Saudi Arabia, especially that most of the literature available is based on a Western context. So cultural context was something that was at the forefront and kind of shows up in the title of the article. We also wanted to examine these experiences using intersectionality theory as a lens. In brief, intersectionality is the study of interconnectedness or the overlapping of social identities. So by examining biological, social, and cultural categories such as gender, age, medical specialty, these very identities are inextricably linked. So we drew upon that notion to have a more fulfilled understanding of women's identities in medical education. The last part, we also looked at the linguistic element, paying attention not to not only what women say, but how they say it. Things like metaphoric talk, emotional talk, antagonistic talk, terms they use to describe themselves, other women, and men. Going back to the title, I understand that maybe a lot of people might interpret the title as being locally specific or nationally specific and not perhaps relevant to what they do. But through this research, it became very apparent that cultural context has a lot of influence on how we interpret things. And sometimes you have to see things from different perspectives to really appreciate your own experience, for example, as a Western medical educator.
Right. Thank you. That's an excellent answer and I think fits well with my perspective on why this was such a great opportunity for the journal to publish this work. Can I ask you to delve a little bit deeper into intersectionality theory? And for those listeners who aren't quite as familiar with it, is your anticipation going in that applying that lens will lead you to different views on gender, the specific aspect of one's identity that is the primary focus of this study?
Yeah, so the use of intersectionality theory, to our knowledge, hasn't been applied to gender in medical education. It has certainly been applied elsewhere, but not in medical education, I don't think. As I said, intersectionality theory is a study of multiple identities, personal and professional, that one has and how those overlap and influence one's experience. So for example, in this research project, fairly quickly, you can see both personal and professional identities, such as the participant as a mother and the participant's medical specialty, so the participant as a hematologist or a cardiologist. Now those things come together and kind of there's this delicate balance between them and how they influence the way women make career choices and how they progress through their careers. On the other hand, other kind of feminist viewpoints focus solely on gender. not giving any room for cultural identity or age or race to understand what it is to be a woman and something else. So a woman and Saudi, a woman and a mother or an immunologist, for example.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in talking with these participants, and I maybe just mention quickly that if I understood correctly, you had 25 female medical educators who were drawn from 5 separate schools. So this is trying to look a bit more broadly than any one institution. In speaking with them, you highlighted not only the idea that they had intersecting identities, but there were obvious organizational cultures that seemed to be impacting upon their capacity or perceived capacity to engage deeply with the medical education community. I'm not sure whether to describe them as barriers or just factors, but maybe you could tell us a bit more about how gender and organizational culture seem to be interacting for these women.
Yeah, so that's the unique thing about Saudi. It's generally a conservative society, a patriarchal society. So women conventionally didn't have much of a leadership role, especially within modern day institutions. So the influence of culture is very apparent, and you compare it to other literature that's been undertaken in Western contexts, you really notice that it's tinged by cultural influence. One of the more important things one needs to know about Saudi before reading this article, or perhaps it's mentioned in the article, is that the power is skewed. So a lot of power is given to elders in the family, for example, as opposed to Western societies where it's kind of more horizontal and dispersed. So that kind of influences how people, both male and female, experience organizational culture within the medical schools.
Right, and by looking at the way people were talking about their experiences, you were able to uncover some insights as to how they understood gender and career progression through the way they were talking about it. Can you highlight some of the key findings in that regard that you thought were particularly useful or surprising?
Yeah, so because of those things I mentioned, a lot of the participants who are especially the senior ones interpreted leadership and management to be a male undertaking, as opposed to the younger generations, which found leadership and management to be gender neutral. The interesting thing about Saudi, again, is that there are specific undergraduate students that are segregated according to gender. There are specific positions for female leaders. So that kind of influences older age groups to kind of see ultimate leadership to be fundamentally male. But those who are younger seem to interpret it as more of a gender-neutral role, and they find that the future holds for them more of a positive outlook when it comes to leadership, and they don't necessarily subscribe to the gender-specific roles.
Okay, and how was it that you were able to draw those things out of the way they were speaking about these particular issues of gender career progression? I know you emphasized in your paper the uniqueness or the value of examining how people were talking about these issues. I wonder if you can give us a bit of the methodological detail in terms of what leads to the notion of metaphoric talk or emotional talk or some of the other concepts that you put forward.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Sometimes gender is a sensitive topic for some, and talking about it is a bit difficult. So we've opted for the linguistic element in our paper because it gives you a vantage point and allows you to see something that's perhaps not readily apparent to the naked eye. So taking a closer look at what women said, we found that there was a lot of metaphoric talk that kind of gives you some insight on how they constructed their medical school and themselves within that medical school. For example, one participant described the university as a mother and medical students as children. Another participant described her colleagues as family and the medical school as home and house. So that kind of gives you the idea that there's this form of institutional kinship and this real deep tie to other people they work with. And that's kind of interesting to see. Another linguistic element we looked at is the antagonistic talk. So it's a lot of they and us talking about leadership and male as they and us as female. So that kind of gives you some insight onto the outsider status of women. This is something you also find in the previous literature published in this domain. So it's not very unique to Saudi women, I wouldn't say, but it does confirm what has been already found out.
Right, and as you raise and identify a variety of concerns or potential areas for change, I'm reminded of a variety of other papers that have come forward where people have explored things like gender that obviously isn't modifiable and have made claims about culture that are very sweeping and really suggest that the culture is being used as a way of inhibiting efforts to change or at least reducing the perceptions of the likelihood that something could change because it's just the culture of this institution. I know this is your first exploration of this topic and it's becoming the foundation for much more extensive study, but do you feel like you're at a point already where this effort has led you to some insights as to how we might better the position of women in medical education?
Oh yeah, so the way forward for me at this point is twofold. You're looking at policy and practice, and you're also looking at future research. In terms of policy and practice, on a national level, there needs to be development. That's not to say that there aren't policies of equality and diversity in some of the medical schools that were participants of this study, but some of them don't have them. So establishing policies that are fair and positive and provide a good work environment for not just women, but other ethnicities and the like. Also raising awareness to gender equality and giving workshops around better career skills, helping women overcome career barriers. The second thing is the research. I think our understanding of gender on a more global level is a bit limited because we don't seek the aid of theory more. There are a lot more theories that can help us frame our research, not just intersectionality theory, but there are more works that can help us in understanding gender, not just for Saudi, but all around, like the work of Del Foucault, for example, and that helps you understand how women are presented in the literature could be a problem itself. That's something I'm hoping to look at in my PhD studies, hopefully.
Yeah, it sounds like there's lots of rich possibility there. And as always with these podcasts, we're only really able to scratch the surface, knowing full well that there's a lot more detail that is in the paper that we simply have to reference our listeners to. But I do appreciate you taking the time to help us do that and certainly recommend the work to others. And at the same time, wish you the best of luck in pursuing these very important issues. Just to wrap up, I will remind our listeners that they can find those details I just alluded to in the August 2016 issue of Medical Education. The paper is entitled Women in Medical Education, Views and Experiences from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and I've been speaking with the first author, Lulu Al-Wazan. Greatly appreciate your time and look forward to when our paths cross again.
Thank you so much for having me.